إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. All praises due to Allah, we praise Him abundantly, we ask Allah's forgiveness and we seek Allah's assistance and we seek refuge with Allah from our evil souls and our bad deeds. Verily, whomever Allah guides, no one can lead astray, and whomever Allah allows to go astray because they do not want any guidance, then no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is no God worthy of our worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone with no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. May Allah exalt his mention, grant him peace, his companions, and all those who follow them on the righteous path until the day of judgment. All you who believe, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa is a comprehensive term which is summarized in the following definition: doing everything that Allah commanded and staying away from everything that Allah forbade. By doing the commandments and staying away from the prohibitions, one will attain taqwa the way Allah deserves it, and do not die except in the state of Islam or submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't die upon shirk, don't die upon innovation, don't die upon sinful ways, rather die as one who submitted his will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers in Islam, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we were able to conclude two books already. And this is a ni'mah. It's a bounty from Allah that we have been able to go over two books. The first one was Sharh Usul al-Iman, and the second was Kashf al-Shubuhat. And this particular evening, inshaAllah ta'ala, will be initiating a brand new book. This book is a little different than the two previous ones. A, in the manner in which it was laid out, the way the book actually is spread, and the content is unlike the first two books. Secondly, it's a little more simplified, although we're using a sharh which is not that simple. But it is more interesting because, as I mentioned, it's a Q&A, right? So you'll be asked a question and you're supposed to give us an answer. And the answer is based on a dalil. Okay, so the first word that we want to study or memorize is the word dalil. Dalil means evidence. Nothing happens without a dalil. We will see what that means. That book is Al-Thalathatu Usul, the three fundamental principles. And included in that are many, many things that each one of us in this masjid, and those who don't come to this masjid, anyone who wants to be a Muslim, cannot be a Muslim in the ultimate sense unless he has this information in the back of his mind. Not in a book, in your mind. Because you will see it's basic things that one must memorize. For instance, you must memorize in math, you know, the multiplication table, right? I mean, some things you just have to memorize, right? 7 times 6, you forgot already, huh? 42, I think. Yeah, some things you have to know. And some things you can forget. But some things you cannot forget. And among them is what is in this book. So, we had encouraged the brothers to bring a notebook. And I can see how many have a notebook tonight. I will pretend that I didn't see those who don't have a notebook for a good reason. But you're still encouraged to make it up, inshallah, next time by taking down some notes, so you may give it to your child, maybe when you're older. Yeah, I need to say this is what your father was doing back in the days, you know. It would be a good sign for him. And maybe you'll encourage him, inshallah, even if you know this information. The Shaykh rahimahullah began his book with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And needless to say, it is to seek the blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's the sunnah of Allah to begin things with the basmala. In the Quran, the Fatiha begins with the of the scholars say that it's not part of the Fatiha, but it is an introduction to the Fatiha. Similarly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he would write a letter to the non-Muslim kings and princes and so on and so forth, he will begin it with the Basmala. Now let me ask you a question. How many letters did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam write with his hand to the various kings? None? Who agrees? Zero? That's right. He couldn't write. Tricked you. He couldn't write alayhi salatu wasalam. In the Sulh of Hudaybiyah, when they wrote Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the disbeliever said, no, man, you gotta take that out. If we believed he was a messenger of Allah, we wouldn't even be here having this sulh, this covenant. So they said, write Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah. So the Sahaba were not really for it, right? You know, this is the Messenger of Allah. So he, alayhi salatu wasalam, asked, where is the Rasulullah? He asked where it was, and so he scratched it off. And then he told him to write the son of Abdullah, alayhi salatu wasalam. He was unlettered. So anyone who claims otherwise, historically, cannot prove that. And so he brought this Quran, which cannot be authored by a human being in any way, shape or form, right? So then he did not write any letters, alayhi salatu wasalam, but when he would instruct his companions to write the letter, they would begin with the basmala. Similarly, you want to write a letter to your family members, it's also recommended that you begin it with the basmala. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu is called Lafdul Jalala. Okay, bism meaning in the name, Allah, the proper noun for the creator of the heavens and the earth. No one shares that name with him, Azza wa Jal. Ar-Rahman is the most beneficent, Ar-Rahim is the most merciful, or sometimes they say most gracious, most merciful. The English cannot really adequately translate the Arabic. But the scholars mentioned in general, Ar-Rahman is the one who has the attribute of Rahmah. And it is for all the creation. The believers and the disbelievers benefit from Ar-Rahman alike. Whereas Ar-Rahim is specific for the believers. وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. So then the mercy that you receive from Allah is extra, beyond the mercy that the disbeliever may get simply because Allah created them, He allows them to live a normal life. Otherwise Allah would have made them suffer the whole time. But that's not the case. This falls under Ar-Rahman Azza wa Jal. The Shaykh said, I'lam. I'lam is a command from the noun ilm, which is knowledge. And the definition given by the scholars is idraku shay'in ala ma huwa alayhi idrakan haziman. It is to know a particular matter according to its real essence in the ultimate sense. Yani you know something correctly, the way it's supposed to be known. You don't have any misunderstandings and you don't have any doubts. You have certain knowledge concerning any subject matter. It could be ilm as a doctor, as an engineer, as a mathematician, or as a Muslim scholar. So this is what ilm is. I'lam then is a command, or it can be a request, right? Because very often when you ask Allah, ihdina, you cannot say you're commanding Allah Azza wa Jal to guide you. You are requesting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide you. So here it could be a command or it could be a request. I'lam, no. Rahimakallah, may Allah have mercy on you. This is gentleness in the speech, trying to win over the person that is being addressed. May Allah have mercy on you, meaning may Allah grant you mercy by giving you that which you look for and keeping away from you that which will harm you. And so basically that entails the forgiveness of sins and being given success and so on and so forth. أَنَّهُ يَجِبُ عَلَيْنَا تَعَلُّمُ أَرْبَعِ مَسَائِلِ. That it is compulsory upon us to learn four matters. Four things you must know. الْأُولَى الْعِلْمِ. First, knowledge. You must have knowledge. Knowledge of what? Of astrology, knowledge of Islam. In particular, وَهُوَ مَعْرِفَةُ اللَّهِ. First, knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أي الشيخ رحمه الله بن عثيمين سجن التفسير، أي معرفة الله عز وجل بالقلب معرفة تستلزم قبول ما شرعه والإذعان والانقياد له. Knowing Allah عز وجل in one's heart in such a way where this necessitates that you accept what has been legislated by Allah with submission and acceptance, not just with, there's no discomfort in one's heart with the actual law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with compliance, with acceptance. وَتَحْكِيمُ شَرِيعَتَهُ الَّتِي جَاءَ بِهَا رَسُولُهُ مُحَمَّدٌ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And establishing his shari', the law, the shari' of Islam which was given by the Prophet, to the Prophet Muhammad صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. ويتعرف العبد على ربه بالنظر في الآيات الشرعية في كتاب الله عز وجل وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم والنظر في الآيات الكونية التي هي المخلوقات. One knows his Lord by one looking through the textual evidences that were mentioned in the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. You get to know Allah through revelation, textual evidence. And secondly, by looking at the creation. And you know, let's just pause for a moment with this idea, recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the creation. Some of the philosophers, the biggest philosophers by the way, used to believe that there must be a designer, right? This intelligent design, they call it, that there must be a designer, there must be a power that brought it into existence. Only abnormal people have deviated and claimed atheism, that there's no such thing as God. But in essence, just you being here right now, in the fashion that we are spread, in the way that you are functioning, is an indication that we could have not come by accident. You see, a human being cannot come by accident. A bunch of molecules or atoms wind up, you know, interacting, and the gravity mixes with some other particles of the universe, as the disbelievers claim. And then, you know, this thing started to evolve and evolve, and all of a sudden, we had, you know, the heavens and the earth, then everybody upon them. You see, this is impossible. This is similar to, you know, one of the examples given is that you go to a library, you know, with a lot of books, and then you, and of course as a Muslim you shouldn't use these examples, but ma'alish, you put a bomb, okay, because nowadays they think we're trying to do something else. You put a bomb in the library and it blows up, and then you know what the result is? An Oxford dictionary, or in alphabetical order. What are the chances of you blowing up a bookstore or a library and then the result is a dictionary with the cover and, you know, the author, and begins with A, apple, and so on and so forth. Huh? So this is impossible, man. Even if you tried it a bazillion times, it's never going to work. So if something like that cannot possibly come into existence by accident, then how can everything that you see around you? So that tells you that there must be a creator. Now Allah Azza wa Jal did not leave this matter unclear or unattended, where you have to figure it out on your own. Rather, He sent revelation through messengers, so He will guide you to everything that you need to know concerning Him. So there are things that He told us, such as His 99 names, He has more. And He told us about His attributes. And He told us that there is nothing like unto Him. There is nothing like Allah. And there are things which He did not tell us. So we don't try to get something that we don't need to. معلش يا عمي ممكن بعدين حبيبي الله يجزيك الخير أنا وزعها بعدين أحفظك الباري شكرا. Hey, I will give you some later inshallah. It's important inshallah. طيب, so all this then is an indication that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had informed us what is expected of us. So this is what is intended by the universal signs. You look at them. فَإِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ كُلَّمَا نَظَرْ فِي تِلْكَ الْآيَاتِ ازْدَادَ عِلْمًا بِخَالِقِهِ وَمَعْبُودِهِ قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَفِي الْأَرْضِ آيَاتٌ لِلْمُوقِنِينَ وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبُصِرُونَ. So the more the son of Adam observes the signs of Allah, the more you will increase your knowledge and and certainty concerning the one whom you are worshipping. Allah says in the Quran, and on the earth are signs for those who have certainty, and in yourselves, do you not see that in your own self, this eye of yours, if we were to take it out, okay, and strike it against the wall, it's a piece of flesh. At the end of the day, the eye is nothing. It's just some meat. But now, your eye is able to view me, right, and everything around you, then it converts this into knowledge. So your brain understands that you're seeing a man speaking. Otherwise, if your brain didn't work, you won't really know what you're seeing. So there's a connection between the brain and the sight. And you know this, hearing, same thing. You hear me, you're understanding the speech, not because you're just hearing, because you have the means to convert the sound into knowledge. So this is a sign of you, that Allah Azza wa Jal is the creator, sustainer, and that He's the one who should be loved in the ultimate sense. That should lead us to love Allah. When you love Allah, then whenever Allah tells you to do something, will you do it or will you not do it? You will do it. But the problem is that we really don't love Allah. You see, we say it, but we don't really live it. That's why we're always in conflict with the shara. Every time something comes to us, we seem to oppose it because we haven't reached this particular level yet. But these are what these classes are for. Bi-ithnillah, perhaps we will be blessed enough to reach that particular level. طيب. So, إذن معرفةullah, علم. The first thing that you must know is knowledge, and knowledge is not of science, knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal. Second, ومعرفة نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم. You must know the Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. أي معرفة رسوله محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم المعرفة التي تستلزم قبول ما جاء به من الهدى ودين الحق وتصديقه فيما أخبر وامتثال أمره فيما أمر واجتناب ما نهى عنه وزجر وتحكيم شريعته والرضا بحكمه. And then he quoted some ayat. That means that you know Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Knowledge which necessitates that you accept what he has been given of guidance and the religion of truth. And you believe whatever he said. You believe whatever he said. You don't inject your ideas into the hadith. Some of the hadith, like the one about the fly. He said, if a fly comes into the drink of one of you, dip it in. Because in one way there's a bacteria, and in the other one there's the antibacteria, there's the cure. Now some people, and the hadith is in Bukhari, some intellectuals, they reject this hadith. They say, look, it doesn't make sense. You know, because they haven't discovered yet. Now some of the students made some studies and they said this is correct. But even though, let's say it's a theory, it will become a reality sooner or later. Because we believe that he doesn't speak of his own desire. Allah gave him this revelation. Even if the scientist today does not believe, khali walli. Because before they used to believe the earth was flat. And nobody, if you were to come and say the earth is round, they would kill you. Say, you know, you're an ignorant person. Although maybe he is knowledgeable. So then science, it changes. They discover things, they realize, oh, we really didn't know anything before. So, but some people, you cannot reject the hadith. Even if they come up with some research that this scientifically cannot be proven, as a Muslim, you don't say, oh, no, the scientist said that this is not real, then I don't believe in the hadith. You have to believe the hadith and belie the scientist. Because the scientist did not receive revelation from Allah. But the Messenger of Allah ﷺ received revelation from Allah. This is something that we must understand. When we are in this particular circumstances, no one is given precedence and we believe everything he said alayhi salatu wasalam, as long as we can confirm authenticity. As long as it is authentic. Sometimes the hadith is da'if. Brothers bring you weak narrations. اطلب العلم ولو في الصين. Who heard this one before? Seek knowledge even if it's in China. The people often spread this in the circles, and this is a fabrication. It's not a hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. اطلب العلم من المهدي إلى آخره. Seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. Another unauthentic narration that you hear, you read often in the newspapers and the articles. Seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. have to make a distinction between authentic versus unauthentic. Once it's authentic, case closed. امتثال أمره فيما أمر, accepting his command, implementing his command when he commanded you to do something, and he commanded us many things. We're not going to go into that. واجتناب ما نهى عنه وزجر, and avoiding whatever he prohibited and warned against, things that you should not do. So do's and don'ts. You do the do's and you leave alone the don'ts. And then implementing his law and being satisfied with his judgment and the judgment of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah says, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِيمَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Nay, Allah swears in the Quran, nay, by your Lord, speaking to the Prophet ﷺ, meaning Allah swearing by himself, they shall not believe. Brothers, we will not believe in the ultimate sense, the iman which will guarantee you Jannah, the iman which will open the door of Jannah. You will not believe until you refer all matters of dispute to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number one, حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجْرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. When we dispute, we take it back to the Sunnah. Not the iman, but the Sunnah. And whichever one of the imams had it with the Sunnah, we take it. Whichever one of the Fura'imma or others happen to be in agreement with the Sunnah, we go with the Sunnah. Allah did not say that we refer this to anyone but the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we don't have anyone, we don't have knowledge, we imitate an imam. We follow one imam whom we trust. But once the hadith is presented to you, and in a sahih, you can no longer disregard the hadith and follow the imam. This is something that all of the ulama mentioned, including the imams of the madahib themselves. They used to say, if the hadith is sahih, forget about my opinion. So then the first thing, we refer to the Prophet ﷺ when we dispute. After he died, can you refer to him? Can two Muslims go to the grave of the, in the Masjid al-Nabawi? We say, oh Muslim Allah, we're disputing, judge between us. We say, this is shirk. You don't go to the grave seeking judgment from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He died. إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. You shall die and they shall die. It's gonna happen. And he died عليه الصلاة والسلام. Abu Bakr said, when the people panicked, he said, وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ مُحَمَّدًا فَقَدْ مَاتَ عليه الصلاة والسلام. Whoever worships Muhammad, he has died. And whoever worships Allah, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتُ. Verily Allah is ever living and he does not die. So then, we go back to his sunnah after he passed away. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَدَيْتُ. Then they do not find within themselves any discomfort concerning what you have judged. Yani, once I tell you, أخي, the sunnah says that, if there's something in your heart, if you're not happy with that judgment, if it goes against your desires and you wind up disliking, then your iman is not sound. Your iman is not miyya miyya. Because you have to be pleased. Say, oh alhamdulillah. And many people are like that. When they know, oh mashallah, this is the sunnah, inshallah. From today, I will start putting it into practice. When they know the sunnah which they did not know about. Right? So people are at different levels. Then the last category, the last level, وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Look at the emphasis. يُسَلِّمُوا, to submit. تَسْلِيمًا, in full submission. يعني you must refer to the Prophet ﷺ. Then you should not have any discomfort in your heart. Then you should submit and put it into practice. Otherwise, go back to the beginning of the ayah. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Nay, by your Lord, they will not believe. And so if any one of us wishes to be considered a believer in the sight of Allah, then he must have these three in his life. Go back to the sunnah, be happy with the sunnah, and put the sunnah into practice. Be it obligatory or otherwise. Then and only then. That's the first ayah. Second ayah. إِنَّمَا كَانَ قَوْلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ أَنْ يَقُولُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Verily, the only statement of the true believers when they are called to Allah and His Messenger to judge between them is that they say, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We listen
and we dispute, we listen and we reflect, we listen and we give it some time, we listen and we obey. Sometimes somebody thinks I'm talking to all the time, but I'm really speaking on general basis. Huh? This is a general reminder for myself first and foremost, and for all of you. طيب, so then we listen and we obey. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And only those are the successful ones. And you know, حي على الصلاة, حي على الصلاة, حي على الفلاح, حي على الفلاح. You come to the masjid for what? For salah and for success. If you want to be really successful, like a business, if you have a business and one part is successful and the other part is not, will you be a successful business? No. You have a good salesman and you have bad product, you're not gonna move. When will you be really successful in the ultimate sense? When everything is in order, you have everything covered. So you come to the success of the salah, but then you disregard the success of this ayah that you say sami'na wa ata'na, then you have partial success, which is really a form of failure, because the other part is failing. And so ultimate success is by bringing a relation between all things which entail success, and not success of the dunya, success of the hereafter, which may bring you success in the dunya. Alhamdulillah. So Allah is merciful to us. And the other ayah the Shaykh rahmullah quoted, فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا. So if you dispute concerning anything, then refer it back to Allah and His Messenger. If indeed you believe in Allah, that is better in terms of the result, and better in terms of referring it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the last ayah, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And this is one of the most scary verses in the Quran. Maybe you haven't come across it before, but this is one of the most dangerous ayat in the book of Allah. It says, let those who oppose the messenger beware. This is a threat, warning from Allah. Let those who oppose the messenger concerning the obligations beware that they may be afflicted with a trial, fitna, أو عذاب أليم, or a severe punishment. So by simply disobeying him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning the wajibat and al-fara'id, then one is automatically exposing himself to fitna. Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said, أتدري ما الفتنة? Do you know what fitna is? الفتنة الشرك لعله إذا رد بعض قوله أن يقع في قلبه شيء من الزيغ فيهلك. He said, you know what fitna is? Fitna is shirk. Perhaps due to rejecting something that came from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some deviance will enter his heart therein, so he will become destroyed. Ibn Kathir in his tafsir said fitna could be shirk or kufr or bid'ah, or you will leave Islam altogether by disobeying the Messenger of Allah. So one should not belittle these verses. It is by the mercy of Allah that some of us are still Muslims, even though we have rejected Him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hundreds of times. It's by the mercy of Allah that we have remained within Islam. Otherwise, if Allah was to implement this ayah with justice with all of us, maybe most of us will not even make it to the masjid. Because how often we oppose him alayhi salatu wasalam after knowing that this should not be done. And so you will find that the whole deen of Allah is speaking about obeying Allah and His Messenger. That's why this is being repeated to your ears. Because that's the deen of Islam. We have nothing else to discuss. I mean, you cannot really be a Muslim unless you have the quality of obedience to Allah and His Messenger. Otherwise, it's just a hawiyah. It's only an ID, a passport. It is not Islam in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jalla. فإذا معرفة الله سبحانه وتعالى ومعرفة knowing معرفة نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم عفوا نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم ومعرفة دين الإسلام. So first knowing Allah, second knowing His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, thirdly knowing the deen of Islam. Who could help us here? How do you know the deen of Islam? Now brothers, You refer to the Quran and the Sunnah. Yes? Because many Westerners have authored books about Islam that are deliberate deceptions, lies, fabrications, and falsifying of facts against Islam, and they say, well, this is what Islam teaches. And they bring, you know, some of the Shiites, you know, striking their backs with some chains, cutting their heads with some swords, saying, Ya Hassan, Ya Hussein, and they say, this is Islam. So can you refer to these people to learn Islam? No. The Shaykh said, قولهم معرفة دين الإسلام الإسلام بالمعنى العام هو التعبد لله بما شرع منذ أن أرسل الله الرسل إلى أن تقوم الساعة كما ذكر عز وجل في ذلك في آيات كثيرة تدل على أن الشرائع السابقة كلها إسلام لله عز وجل. The Shaykh رحمه الله said, concerning the statement, knowing the deen of Islam. Islam, in the general meaning, is subservience to Allah. Subservience to Allah by doing that which He legislated from the time He sent messengers. From the very first messenger that Allah sent. Who's the first messenger? We learned this in Sharh Usul al-Iman. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. What about Adam? Prophet. So Adam was a prophet, he wasn't a messenger, right? But he was the first prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. From the first messengers until the hour takes place, yani until the day of judgment, okay? As Allah Azza wa Jalla, this is Islam, which is applicable to everyone. As Allah had mentioned in many ayat in His book, dealing with the fact that the previous religions were really Islam. In what sense? In what sense were the previous religions Islam? Who can clarify? The oneness of Allah, tayyib. Believing in the six pillars of Iman, really. Islam in a sense is believing in the six pillars of Iman, because the Salah may have been somewhat different, fasting may have been somewhat different, some of the things in the previous shara'i', like that of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, was different than ours. Okay? At the time of Sulaiman, there were things that were lawful then that are not lawful in Islam today. So then, in the ultimate sense, what is intended by Islam is the submission to Allah. That every prophet brought. Even Jesus in the Bible, He's quoted to have said, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. Jesus said, which Christians don't know about, He said, do not think that I came to destroy the law of Moses, the Torah, or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So now the Christians have taken Him as a God. They said that He came to change the previous religions, but in essence He said that He came to fulfill what Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, Solomon, Jonah, everybody had already established. Then Islam in the ultimate sense is subservience to Allah Azza wa Jal. Everyone had that. Allah says in the Quran, concerning Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Rabbana waj'alna muslimina laka wa min durriyatina ummatan muslimatan lak. Surah Al-Baqarah verse 138. Allah says concerning Ibrahim, He said, our Lord, and make us Muslims in submission to You and from our descendants, from our progeny, our children, a Muslim nation in submission to You. So then Islam in the sense that you do not worship idols, you do not worship dead people, you do not worship saints, and you do not worship the creation of Allah. You submit your will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Islam that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam also had lived and taught and preached. والإسلام بمعنى خاص بعد بعثة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يختص بما بعث به محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم لأن ما بعث به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نسخ جميع الأديان السابقة فصار من اتبعه مسلما ومن خالفه ليس بمسلم. But Islam in its specific meaning is related to that after the advent of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is specific to what he was given. Because his law, naskh, remember, anybody remember the word naskh in English? Not nuskha, naskh, nasikh, mansukh. When something voids, we said it's abrogate. Okay, A-B-R-O-G-A-T-E, abrogate. is a technical term that means to make something void. يعني your company used to have a particular paperwork that was what they referred to. Then they brought specialized people to make a new one. Once the new one is made, the old one is void. You cannot act upon it anymore. خلاص, it's old. Now we have a new one. So we say the old one is abrogated. In Arabic, mansukhatun. It's been void by that which has come afterwards. In the case of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was given Islam, the deen of Islam as we have it today, everything else became void. So no Christian can become a Christian, and no Jew can become a Jew, Hindu become a Hindu. No one can remain upon his religion and enter Jannah. Never. Once Islam has been delivered, then their religion became false. Some of them already have false religions, and that which was okay, is still acceptable, has become void by the law of Islam. So the Shaykh said, so whoever follows him then, the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he is a Muslim. And whoever opposes him, he is not a Muslim. Because he is a kafir. Why am I using the word kafir? Or why am I using the word not Muslim? I use them interchangeably. No, there isn't. A kafir is a non-Muslim. No, there isn't, Habibi. I mean, of course, if you speak it to someone, you know, you tell him you're a kafir like that, he may, you know, panic a little bit. So whenever, usually in da'wah, just to give an example, I don't want to take this any further, but in da'wah, for example, we say if we have Muslims and others, kuffar, we don't say, okay, we'll give the kuffar the chance to ask questions first, right? We say we'll give the non-Muslims the chance to speak, yani as means of wisdom in da'wah. Otherwise, the meaning is that they're synonyms. A kafir is a non-Muslim, a non-Muslim is a kafir. You see what I'm saying? But out of etiquette, you know, the etiquette of mannerism and so on and so forth, we may avoid using the word kafir and kuffar. But in reality, that's what they are. Huh? Anyone who disbelieves in Muhammad sallallahu is in essence a kafir, and the plural is kuffar, and they are non-Muslims. That's what it is. طيب فاتباع الرسل مسلمون في زمن رسلهم. So then the followers of the messengers are considered to be Muslims during the time of their messenger. So those who followed Moses عليه الصلاة والسلام and believed in him, not those who did oppose them, they are our Muslim brothers. Because they submitted to Allah, they believed in the respective messenger that was available at their time. Had the Prophet ﷺ come, they would have believed in him because they have the quality of belief. But so we are Muslims in this sense that we both have submitted to Allah Azza wa Jal. فاليهود مسلمون في زمن موسى عليه الصلاة والسلام والنصارى مسلمون في زمن عيسى عليه الصلاة والسلام وأما حين بعث النبي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم فكفروا به فليسوا بمسلمين. So then the Jews at the time of Moses are Muslims, and the Christians, if we want to call them Christians, the followers of Jesus were considered to be Muslims at the time of Jesus. Those who believe that he was the messenger of Allah, not the son of Allah, حاشا لله وتعالى عما يقول الظالمون علوا كبيرا. But after the advent of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then they have all disbelieved in him. Those who have disbelieved in him, ليسوا بمسلمين, they are not to be called Muslims. They are not to be called Muslims. وهذا الدين الإسلامي هو الدين المقبول عند الله النافع لصاحبه. قال الله عز وجل إن الدين عند الله الإسلام. This Islamic religion. Now, some of the du'at and those involved in da'wah, they have a reservation concerning the word religion. Because the word religion in the Western context has a meaning, special meaning, which is the relationship of one with his God. Right? And it's limited to that. It doesn't include the social life, the economic life, the academic life, and so on and so forth. Islam is not just between you and Allah. It has to do with everything in life. So it's more like a deen, a way of life. But we use religion for convenience. Otherwise, it's not just a religion. It is a comprehensive way of life which tells you and directs you in every aspect of life. With the people, with the neighbors, with the creation, with the ants, with the trees, and with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the only religion that is acceptable to Allah that will benefit the follower of that religion. Allah says in the Quran, verily the religion in the sight of Allah is Islam. That's the only religion that Allah will accept. He said, this was Al-Imran verse 19. He said in Al-Imran verse 85, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Whosoever desires a religion other than Islam, it shall never be accepted of them. And they will be in the hereafter among the losers. So anyone who comes with a religion other than Islam, Allah will not accept it. Because the truth has been conveyed, the Quran has been preserved, the seerah has been circulated, everyone has heard about the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Everyone almost in the world. Whether because of some bad things that they have said about him, or things that they have attributed to him, it doesn't matter anymore. The message has reached the people, and any intellectual person should investigate. And lastly, وَهَذَا الْإِسْلَامُ هُوَ الْإِسْلَامُ الَّذِي امْتَنَّ اللَّهُ بِهِ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَأُمَّتِهِ. قال الله تعالى: اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. This is the Islam, which is the one that Allah has reminded the Prophet ﷺ and his nation concerning that favor. He reminded us of that favor to be appreciated to Allah. He said, this day I have perfected your religion for you and completed my favors upon you, and I am pleased with Islam as a way of life for you. SubhanAllah. The religion then is perfect. That means you cannot add and you cannot delete. Once you add and delete, it's not perfect anymore. If you have a cup of water, and the water is just at the tip, just at the edge of the cup, they say this is perfect amount of water. If you were to add, it's gonna pour out. If you were to take some out, it's no longer full. So perfection is very particular. So that's why any form of bid'ah is to be rejected. No. This is the last verse that I will quote in the context of Islam. Hey, this is in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 3. The last verse that was ever revealed, some of the scholars say it's the one, I believe, in Surah Al-Imran. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. And have taqwa of Allah, have actually be fearful of a day where you will return on that day to Allah. The scholars have differed about what was the last thing to be revealed. Some of the scholars say that this ayah in Surah Al-Imran was the last ayah that Allah revealed. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. نعم. But that one I mentioned is not. It's the last one that we will quote. طيب. بِالْأَدِلَّةِ. Or shall we wait till next time? 10 o'clock is late, huh? Vote. Continue. If you want me to continue, raise your hand. If you want to go home. Okay, mashallah, mashallah. But you have to wake up for Fajr. If you stay in the class and not come for Fajr, it's a musibah, it's a problem, man. I didn't accomplish anything. So we want to, you know, wake up for Fajr, brothers. Everybody, inshallah, pray in the first row. طيب قوله بالأدلة جمع دليل وهو ما يرشد إلى المطلوب. أدلة, knowing Islam through textual evidences. Okay, not through your mind. Because sometimes our minds don't work very well. Especially when we wake up. So Islam is then whatever is in the Quran and the Sunnah through al-adilla. Adilla is a plural of dalil, and we mentioned dalil is an evidence. Adilla is evidences. Evidences. And it is that which guides you to what is needed. That which guides you. So you're looking for the evidence, and the dalil is that thing that you're looking for in order to support your case. In the court of law, right? Whenever they have a dispute, they always need evidence. So they bring someone to testify and so on and so forth. And this is exactly what they're looking for to say this person is a criminal or otherwise. So it's the same concept. وَالْأَدِلَّ عَلَى مَعْرِفَةُ ذَلِكَ سَمْعِيَّةُ وَعَقْلِيَّةُ. Now, evidences that teach us Islam are of two kinds. Sam'iyya and Aqliyya. Sam'iyya, who remembers? You should know Ibrahim.
Hearing.
Hey, hearing, what does that mean in the context of the ulama, scholars? When we say textual evidence is something that you hear, what does it really mean? It means it's something that is from the Quran or the Sunnah. Although it is called sam'iyya, you hear it because the asl is that you hear the adillah. You hear the Quran, you hear the hadith, assuming there was no writing down. Like at the time of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Quran was being taught orally. Some were writing, but predominantly it was being oral. Even the hadith, when Ibn Mas'ud said, the Messenger of Allah used to teach us al-istikhara like he would teach us a salah, a chapter in the Quran. And he used to say, إِذَا هَمَّ أَحَدُكُمْ بِالْأَمْرِ, if one of you has the intent to do something, فَلْيَقُولَ اللَّهُمَّ أَنْ يَسْتَغْفِرُكَ بِعِلْمِكَ إِلَىٰ أَخْرِ الْحَدِيثِ. Then so, the asl is that the evidences are heard. That's why it's called أَدِلَّةَ سَمْعِيَّةَ. You hear it. So this is the textual evidence, meaning something that you may read today. But you're supposed to hear it in essence. And وَعَقْلِيَّةَ and intellectual. So the intellect is there, but it is not the asl. فَالسَّمْعِيَّةَ مَا ثَبَتَ بِهِ بِالْوَحِي مَا ثَبَتَ بِالْوَحِي عَفْوًا وَهُوَ الْكِتَابُ وَالسُّنَّةِ. سَمْعِيَّةَ is whatever has been confirmed through revelation, authenticated through revelation, which is the Quran and the Sunnah. وَالْعَقْلِيَّةَ مَا ثَبَتَ بِالنَّظَرِ وَالتَّأَمُّلِ. And the intellectual one is that which has been confirmed through reflection and pondering. You reflect, you ponder, you use your mind. وَقَدْ أَكْثَرَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مِنْ ذِكْرِ هَذَا النَّوْعِ فِي كِتَابِهِ فَكَمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ قَالَ اللَّهُ فِيهَا وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ كَذَا وَكَذَا وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ كَذَا وَكَذَا وَهَكَذَا يَكُونُ صِيَاقُ الْأَدِلَّةِ الْعَقْلِيَّةِ الدَّالَّةُ عَلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And how abundant are those where Allah Azza wa Jalla has said in His book, and among His signs are such and such, and among His signs are the heavens and the earth, and the sun and the moon, and the alternation of the night and the day, and among the signs that He created from you, from yourselves, spouses, that you may find repose and love and peace between them. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ كَذَا وَكَذَا. Right? How often do you hear this in the Qur'an? So these are adilla aqliya, because you see them, so you think about them, so that leads you to understanding the deen of Islam. وَأَمَّا مَعْرِفَةُ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِالْأَدِلَّةِ السَّمْعِيَّةِ فَمِثْلِ قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى مُحَمَّدٌ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ. As for knowing the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم through textual evidence, it is through some verses in the Quran, like the one in Surah Al-Fatih, verse 29. مُحَمَّدٌ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. It's in the Quran. Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ, and those who are with Him. Then Allah described them how they are against the kuffar and with the believers, رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنِهِمْ إِلَىٰ أَخِرِ الْآيَةِ. وَالْآيَةَ نَعْمُ وَقَوْلِهِ وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلِ. Surah Al-Imran, verse 144, Allah says, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not but a messenger. Many messengers had passed before him. So again, his name was used. So you know him through the textual evidence by his name being mentioned in the book of Allah. بالأدلة العقلية بالنظر والتأمل فيما أتى به من الآيات البينات التي أعظمها كتاب الله عز وجل المشتمل على الأخبار الصادقة النافعة والأحكام المصلحة العادلة. In terms of identifying or confirming the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam through textual, through intellectual evidence, then it is by looking at what he has brought from the clear signs. And on top of them is what, ya shabab? The Quran. On top of them is the book of Allah. This book which contains the truthful speech, the truthful information and events of the past and the future, and the rulings which are suitable and beneficial and just for the creation. وَمَا جَرَى عَلَى يَدَيْهِ مِنْ خَوَارِقِ الْعَادَاتِ. And other miracles that the Prophet ﷺ performed, such as splitting the moon, water gushing out from his hands, the hajar, doing tasbih, the rock, doing tasbih in his hand, alayhi salatu wasalam, the branch of tree which he used to use to recline on when he would give the khutbah before they built the minbar for him. And then the branch of tree was crying. And Prophet ﷺ went and he patted like you pat an animal to make him feel better. So then we have some of the miracles that you find the scholars never really emphasize on, because the Quran is the ultimate miracle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وما أخبر به من أمور الغيب التي لا تصدر إلا عن وحي والتي صدقها ما وقع منها. And also concerning when he told us about the future events of the unseen that no one has the means to know except through revelation. And the most common one is, or the many of them, he said to his companions, فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيَرَ خِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Whoever, to his companions, Sahaba, whoever will live amongst you, he shall see a lot of difference. And indeed, the Khawarij came out, and the fitan happened between some of the people, and there was a lot of differences after the Messenger of Allah. So much so that when he died, many people left Islam, apostated. Others didn't want to pay the zakah anymore. There was a lot of difference from the moment he died, alayhi salatu wasalam. He told us about that. He mentioned that a day will come when someone, the hadith will come to him, he said, لَا أَلْفَيَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَرِكَتِهِ أَحَدَكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَرِكَتِهِ يَأْتِيهِ الْأَمْرُ مِنْ عِنْدِي يَقُولُ مَا أَدْرِي مَا كَانَ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ تَبَعْنَا. He said, do not let me find one of you reclining on his couch and the command comes to him from me. And then he will say, I don't know, whatever is in the Qur'an, I will follow. And we mentioned these people, the Qur'aniyun, that are making a lot of noise nowadays, trying to argue with us about the fact that you cannot refer to the Sunnah because it is not authentic. And he said, this day will come, someone will be just leaning on his couch. He said, whatever is in the Book of Allah, I will follow. Meaning I don't have to follow the Sunnah. He said, بَدَى الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبًا وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا كَمَا بَدَى وَطُوبَى لِلْغُرَبَى. Islam began strange, and he will go back to the state of strangeness. So give glad tidings to the strangers. So he told us Islam will be strange, where if you adhere to Islam, people say you're a freak. So be careful of this guy, extremist. He prays 5 times a day. He follows the Sunnah. He loves the Prophet ﷺ. Extremist, fundamentalist. Islam became strange among its people. Where you and your family member, among your family members, if you try to practice the deen, they don't like you. They say, this guy, man, we cannot have fun around him. If he comes, you have to turn off the TV, shut off the music, you know, stop smoking. He doesn't let us breathe. Ishada, Ishti, what is this guy? This extremist, where did you get this in your family? SubhanAllah. Just because you're trying to follow the deen, you became an extremist among the Muslims. Because they want to follow their desires. So all these, the Prophet ﷺ, he prophesied, he told us that these will happen. No one can know this except through revelation. The Ummah will divide into 73 sects, all of which will be in the fire with the exception of one. Who are the Messenger of Allah? Man kana ala mithli ma ana alayhi wa ashabi. Whoever is upon what I am on that day and my companions. This is the same group. He told us the Muslims will deviate and divide. You are living this today. So these are evidences that he, at least we believe in him, alayhi sallam, intellectually through seeing the manifestation of what he had prophesied, sallallahu alayhi sallam. With that, we will conclude for real this time. It's 52 minutes since we began. Bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal, next week, we'll be dealing with, now that we have knowledge of these three matters, now working and putting them into practice, implementing, and we will deal with the explanation at that time. You're all welcome to join next week and bring others as well. Female, your women folks are welcome to come and be upstairs. No one will see them, inshallah. They may come and listen. You may bring the children. They can stay upstairs as well. Yani, try to make it a family gathering if you're able to do so, if you're married. Sorry for the brothers who don't have wives. Furthermore, you know, it's good environment. This is a masjid of dhikr. It's a place where Allah is being remembered. The angels will surround this place. They will ask Allah to forgive us. Yani, a lot of virtues and benefits that the woman can take advantage of as well. So jazakumullah khairan for your patience. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. If you want to pick up one of these which the brothers wanted to distribute, if you do read Arabic, if you don't, I don't think you're going to benefit from this. We'll just leave it here, inshallah.